We're going to talk about hindrances to healing. Hindrances. Are there any hindrances to healing? Yes. Well, why do you think people are sick? Because at some point they've got a hindrance, don't they? And even, you know, even so-called believers, they run up into these roadblocks and they can't get beyond it. And this is what's keeping them from getting healed. Well, maybe if we could just get rid of those hindrances, then they could receive their healing. Doesn't that make sense? So I've got at least six messages on this. Watch out for what you ask for, right? You'll get it. You ready? Hallelujah, because if we can get rid of those hindrances, then what's stopping us? Nothing. There's nothing hindering you. What is hindering you from being healed? Nothing at that point. Then what are you? You're healed. This could develop beyond that, but there's six things that I really believe are hindering people. And many of the other things, there's more than six. Believe me, there's more than six. I keep finding more, but and when I find them, they tend to go into one of these categories. But this is good, solid stuff. And it's the Word. And I'm going to get in the Holy Ghost, and so are you, and glory be to God, we'll have a feast. So if you'll open with me to Mark 9:23, and the first hindrance to healing is unbelief. The first hindrance to healing is unbelief. We just went on a series. We just came off of this on Wednesday nights. We were talking about what? Believing God. Believing God. And we said, what do you get when you believe God? All things. All things are possible to you if you believe. Well, if you don't believe, what's not possible to you? All things are not possible to those who don't believe. All things are possible to who? To you if you believe. He that believes. And then we went on that talking about the inward man. That's the part of you that believes. So what is the number one hindrance to a person? If Jesus is saying this to somebody, all things are possible to you if you believe. What is he saying? The problem would be if you don't believe. He didn't say anything else. He didn't say sin. He didn't say your grandma. He didn't say your job. He didn't say anything. He said it was unbelief. It was belief and unbelief. So number one is unbelief. So let's pray and then we'll read this.
Indo guru gong grosa vane dem de hebele isa host to por brava. Frovon de gist auto to be perfitted tog in the boards to torn him in east fan and am ha ha ha. Fro bedded este. Crovon stenib de ha. Logally membro could double zip a trade on the man and more on the mistress.
Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to help these people. I'm asking you to help the people that hear these words, the people that are here and other people that will hear these words. Help them, Father. Speak to them, Holy Ghost, that they may hear you and your voice, that the hindrances, the things that are hindering them from stepping in and entering into the rest will be completely removed from their lives, and they will receive and be healed. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Do you know how many people are in this situation? They believe. They desire to believe. But they have unbelief. And what's going to hinder them? It's the unbelief. They may believe. They may believe a little bit, but their belief and their faith is not reaching far enough. And if you were here on the last series on believing God, you'll understand why. And you know this. Mostly it's because that seed has not matured to the point where it's bearing fruit. And if they just stay with it, they'd be all right. They'd water it. We know that. Some people don't know this. But it's still the unbelief is what's... They weren't able to harvest the full belief yet. So what's hindering this person is the same thing, and this is the cry of their heart. Here's a man crying out. He wants his child, the person he's caring about, healed or delivered, and they're not being delivered, and he wonders why. Help, I believe. Jesus said, if you believe, it's possible. I believe, but help my unbelief. So he's crying out to the Lord, who is the Word. He's going in the right direction. Help my unbelief. And we could all be in this situation, right? We're all like, give us more faith. The disciples said that. Give us more faith. Help my unbelief. Help it. We just talked about the belief. Now let's look at the unbelief. Because if we can get beyond this unbelief, what's on the other side of unbelief? Belief. Then that's all you got. So let's get rid of these hindrances to healing or any really anything else that you believe in God for. It's unbelief that's the problem. Do you agree with that in this scripture? It's the unbelief. Jesus said, if you could believe, all things are possible. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. Glory be to God forever. Mark 5:34, and I'll go through this quickly. Mark 5:34, Jesus said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What made this woman whole? Her faith made her whole. Her belief. Obviously, her belief was not unbelief. You understand that? Her belief, her faith, made her whole. Whose faith? Jesus' faith? Her faith. Why did Jesus ask this man, the one we were just talking about, if you can believe, all things are possible? This is Jesus saying this. This is the Lord Jesus. He said, if you believe, all things are possible to you. I believe, help my unbelief. This woman didn't have that problem, did she? She came right in with her faith and took what she needed and tried to sneak away. But her faith made her whole. What if she had unbelief? What would have hindered her of receiving? He could have turned around and said, daughter, your unbelief has not made you whole. Has kept you from being whole. Your unbelief. Are we seeing this? What's the number one? What would have been the hindrance to this woman? Unbelief. And all the things that could have caused the unbelief, which is where we're going. We want to root those things out. But the main thing is her unbelief. But there are things that caused unbelief. You understand? Are there things that cause faith? And this woman here, she said, if I touch his garment or the fringe on his robe, I shall be made whole. She said, she convinced herself, and it was her faith that made her whole. It could have been her unbelief that kept her from even trying. Right? She didn't have that problem. Somehow she made it. Her faith made her whole. Other people's unbelief kept them from being whole. Anybody could have touched them. The throng was pressing in on him. Unbelief and faith. Which side are you going to be on? I'm on the faith side. Thank you very much. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said unto him, so this works on men too, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I like that part. How many people received something from Jesus and then went on their merry way? Their merry way. This one said he followed Jesus in the way. Glory be to God forever. But whose faith made him whole? Jesus's, right? The apostles. His faith? Yes, his faith. His faith made him whole. What if he had some unbelief there? Would he be whole? No, Jesus would have said, sorry, your unbelief. He would have marveled, and we're going to go there. He marveled. He would have marveled at his unbelief. It was like, I just preached to you for 3 hours on the beach, and I can't believe you don't believe what I just said. You know how many people need to hear this? There are so many people. They believe. How many people? You know, if we had thousands of people here right now, I could say, who believes in healing? They'd all raise their hand. Because everybody believes in healing. I believe the Lord could heal anybody he wants to. Even a dog's broken leg, he could heal him. If it's his will. Or if he wants to. He could. So they believe. But their unbelief is what's keeping them from being healed. If I said, how many believe right now? The Lord Jesus wants to heal you right now. They would, you know, some of them would. Some will raise their hand and they would get healed. Others would sit there, well, I don't know. What's the I don't know coming from? It's the unbelief. They believe God can and maybe even wants to, but there's something's hindering them. It's the unbelief. It's the number one thing keeping people out of the rest. So if we can put our finger on it, we can go, it's the unbelief there. Jesus did it over and over again. He said, your faith healed you. Your unbelief is what's keeping you out. So at least we know what the problem is. Brother, you're telling me what the problem is. What's the answer? We'll get to that. But we need to know and have full understanding of what the problem is before we can cut it out, throw it on the floor and stomp on it, laugh at it. Whose faith made this man whole? His faith made him whole. Whose unbelief would have kept him from being made whole? Would Jesus' unbelief? He's like, I don't know. I don't believe I could do that. What do you want, a blind eye? Well, I don't know about that. But he wasn't even taking responsibility for it. It says, as you believe, so be it unto you. As you believe. Right? So whose problem is it? It's our problem. And it has to do with unbelief and belief. Glory be to God forever. Mark 6. Aren't you so happy in finding these all in one book? I work on that. Trying to shorten these things up. I get home, I listen to the tape, and I think, an hour and a half? I can't believe people stood there for an hour and a half and listened to me. So this is one of the ways. Try to keep you all in one book. Mark 6, verse 5. And he, who are we talking about? Jesus. And he, Jesus, could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled because of their... Now, where was he at this time? He was in Nazareth, his own hometown. He grew up in it with these people. Poor Jesus. You won't hear me saying that very often. But he grew up with these people. And in those days, I mean, you knew everybody in town, didn't you? I mean, everybody knew everybody, and they knew everybody's business. You couldn't walk down the street without them knowing what you were carrying and where you were carrying it to. Right? And he marveled. They made Jesus marvel. What did they marvel at? At their unbelief. And he could do no mighty, the Lord Jesus Christ could do no mighty works there. The Holy Spirit on the Lord Jesus could do no mighty works there. For what reason?
Their stupidity, brother.
No. The one thing he says is their unbelief is what kept him from doing. So, once again in our lightning fast mind, what is that which would help people to receive mighty works of God? Their belief. What kind of a church do we want to be? A believing church with no unbelief. And if we see unbelief, we're going to root it out. I don't care what it is. We're believers, not doubters. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. He could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And, everybody say and. So, Lord Jesus, he gave up on them, didn't he? He said, oh, they got unbelief, and I can't do any mighty works here, so you guys just fall off a cliff and die or something. Had enough of you, and he shook off the dust of his feet and left. Is that what he did? And he went round about the villages teaching. Verse 7 says, he called unto him 12 and began to send them forth two by two to go around teaching. So what is the cure to unbelief? Teaching the word. Why? What comes by hearing and hearing the word? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So we can have people who have some unbelief. If Jesus had the time with that man who said, help my unbelief, he would have said some things about the kingdom of God and it being a seed and you can water it and such. But he couldn't because he saw the crowds gathering. You read on beyond where we left off. The crowds were gathering. He quickly took the child aside and cast the demon out of it. Right? Quickly. Before who came? The big crowd of unbelief. So why in Nazareth, where he grew up? You know how many Christians are growing up in Nazareths of unbelief? Not just naturally, but in their churches? Just ingrown with unbelief. Like all the toenails growing backwards. For a good image. A pus-filled body of Christ. It's like, enough, enough. Uncle. We got the point. I'm serious. They're in these churches that don't have faith. They're preaching unbelief. They're full of unbelief. What chance does a person who's sitting in this have? If the Lord Jesus himself could do no mighty works and he had to lay hands on a few sick folks. And we could go down that trail. We could go down the trail of a few sick folks and having to lay hands on. And I firmly believe this, and I think it's borne out in Scripture. The laying on of hands is one of the lower forms of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, speak the word only and they'd be healed. Is that right? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Ed Dufresne used to say, and he has this tape series on it, he said, it's life and death what church you attend. It could be prosperity or poverty what church you attend. Why? Because you're being surrounded by people who don't believe it. I just don't believe it. But I believe God could heal, but he's going to heal you and keep you healthy. He's going to prosper you and make you wealthy. Come on. Not in this church. Yeah, right. Go then. Get out of that church. Why? Because you're in unbelief. You're surrounded by unbelief. We have scriptural example here that it will hinder your faith. You could try to stay there. But if you're in a church where they're not preaching the gospel that will keep you healed, get you healed and keep you healed, you need to go somewhere else. Get out of there. Hallelujah. That pus will get on you. And it's infectious. It's an infectious disease. Unbelief is an infectious disease. Your faith is an infectious thing too. Your faith will rub off on people, and we'll see that. They all got together. When they had a problem, they came to their like precious faith brethren. And why? Because they believe. Go to the believers. You're a little down on faith? Go get around somebody who's just full of it. They selected men who were full of faith and power to minister to the people. Why?
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know why. But I know why, because the Holy Ghost wants this type of seed being spread throughout the body to keep it healthy and to keep it prosperous and to keep it going in the right direction. You get a bunch of poverty mouth and poor mouth and sick mouth people, they all get together. Well, what are you going to have? More of the same? They're going to inbreed. I'm telling you the truth. Surround yourself. You believe in for something, surround yourself with people who are like-minded and believe for the same thing, and you will increase. Don't surround yourself on a regular basis and expose yourself to people, Christians, who are full of unbelief. They will contaminate you, and you'll be in trouble. You'll wonder what happened to your faith. I used to believe, I used to be strong, and now I'm all pussy. I'm sorry. You're agging me on out there. Never do that, by the way. So Jesus, he didn't just leave them there, did he? Even after he marveled because of their unbelief, they had marvelous unbelief. I mean, it just wasn't good. It just wasn't... It wasn't just regular unbelief. This was the marvelous unbelief. Some of the best unbelief I've ever seen. If you could just bottle that. No, I'll stop right there. Hallelujah. So he went round about the villages. Doing what? Teaching. You see unbelief, people, if they're open to teaching. And you can show them in the Word. I don't care where they're at. I don't care how much unbelief they have. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word. Take them to the Word. Throw some seed on that soil. Watch it begin to sprout up. Water it a little bit. Shed some light on it. Pretty soon they'll start to believe and their unbelief will be helped. If they don't receive teaching, goodbye. There is no help for them. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying there is no help for them. If they won't hear the Word and change the way they think, then there is no help for them. Unless God in His sovereign glory comes down and zaps them with something. Glory be to God. So why are you so big on teaching, preaching the Word? This is why. We can root out all this stuff. We can root out unholiness. We can root out all this wacky thinking if we get it in the Word and we stay with the Word. Glory be to God. So what's the cure to unbelief? The Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing by the Word. Glory be to God forever. This is Jesus knew that. He saw their marvelous unbelief and went around the villages teaching. Notice it said he didn't say he went around the villages demonstrating to try to get them to believe. Let me just pull another fast one here and show you this special miracle. Oh, that'll make them believe? No. Why didn't he do that? Remember the Pharisees coming up and saying, well, just show us a sign and then we'll believe. He said, I've been doing all these signs and you still don't believe. He said, if you didn't believe Moses, you're not going to believe me. Right? They didn't receive the teaching, which caused faith to come, which is what they needed to believe, not the sign. The signs should follow the teaching, not the sign, not the teaching following the signs. Jesus knew that. So we follow his example. Is that right? They had unbelief, then they needed teaching. They didn't need a sign. It could be life or death what church you attend. Brother, you're just trying to get people to attend your church. No, I'm trying to get people that are in unbelief out. Because it's the unbelief that's keeping them out of the blessing of God. All things are possible to you if you believe. But the unbelief is what's keeping you out of the blessing, whether it's healing or prosperity or your call or whatever it is. It's somehow it's unbelief. Second Peter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Who's he writing this to? People that have like precious faith. If you've come into something in the Word where you believe it, you believe that it is God's will not only to heal you but keep you whole, Don't be throwing that around to other people who don't believe it. Write and communicate. Here's Peter communicating with people of like precious faith. And do it on a regular basis, and they will increase your faith, and you'll be built up in faith. If you're you know, constantly spending your time with Christians that don't believe, they will water you down and wear you out. And if you're in a community of unbelief, it's going to hurt you. And you will see your faith diminish until it's marvelous unbelief. Hallelujah. Did you see that? A servant of and apostle of Jesus to them that have obtained like precious faith. You aren't even going to obtain it if you're in the wrong place. You need to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And that's a good confession. I'm always at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Always. How come you're always in the right place at the right time? Because I confess and I believe it. So where would the right place for a believer be on a regular basis? In a community of belief, yes, in the Word, but also with other people who have the same like precious faith. And sometimes that's not easy to find. Did you ever find that out? Yeah. Sounds like every Christian I run into are weird. Or they're full of doubt and unbelief. Tell you, you can love them, you can pray for them, but don't hang out with them all the time. Why? Because what's precious? What are you going to do with that which is precious? Just throw it out in the street? I got some gold bars, but they're too heavy. I'm going to throw them out in the street. Right? If it's precious, you're going to take care of it. And that seed that's sown in the ground of your spirit is precious. And don't just let people in there and trample all over it. Trample? Yeah, don't trample. Yeah, you know, trample and trample. They're twins. Why are you talking like this, brother? Because this is so prevalent. And especially when you get into to bigger things that you're believing for. Be careful who you share it with. Or don't share it with anybody. Unless you know that they can handle it and you know that they're going to be smack on believing with you. Don't even go there. They don't need to know. And especially if you're in trouble. If you're in trouble, time's running out on you. You're in some church that doesn't believe in healing. Wake up. Get out of there. Go to the church where they believe in healing and they preach on it. And maybe they'll even hold special meetings on Wednesdays to specifically talk about faith and healing. On a regular basis. Why? Because you need to hear it. You need to associate yourself with people of like precious faith. Yeah. Glory be to God. I hope you're getting it. Acts 4:23. And being let go. They just got let go out of jail. And they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Where did they go? They're in trouble. They just got let out. And where did they go? To their own company. And I looked this up. And idios is the word, okay? The Greek word. Idios. It means the same thing as yourself. They went to people that were the same as themselves. Like-minded. Precious. They think the same. They talk the same.
Well, you sound like Patrick.
Well, you sound like Carlene. Well, thank you. We're of the same mind. Let the mind of Christ be in you. They were one. These were the same people just a few chapters ago that received the Holy Ghost because they were of one accord in one place. 120 people in one accord. But they went back to these same people. They were all the same. What do you mean the same? Like clones? Yeah, clones of Jesus. Clones of the Holy Ghost. They weren't unbelievers. They didn't go to the unbelievers and moan and complain about it and get on the prayer chain.
Let's just talk about Sister Susie. Oh, she's having such a hard time.
Oh, I know. Let me call Margaret.
Sister Susie's having such a hard time. Okay, I'll call Gretchen.
Sister Susie's having a hard time. You're on the wrong train, buddy. You need to be on the faith train. And if you don't have a faith train, well, shut your mouth and find one. Find somebody that believes in healing. Find that you're in debt. Find somebody that believes in prosperity. Quit moaning about it to everybody else. What am I going to do? Well, nothing, obviously. Sound like you're telling people to get out of church. You know, I am. Whether you like it or not, if you want to live and not die, if you want to live and not die and you got a certain situation confronting you, get away from the unbelief and find somebody that believes it. If you can't, then just get in your Bible. Because God believes this stuff. So does the Holy Ghost. Associate with people who are of like mind. They believe it. They believe it all. Glory be to God. They should be more believers than you, and you want them to rub off on you. Yes. That sounds extreme. It is. Jesus was extreme. I don't think anybody gets more extreme than he was. Take up your cross and follow me. That's extreme. If anybody comes after me and doesn't hate everything else in relative comparison, that is extreme. You got to love him more than anybody else, making it look like hatred. That's why we sing, I hate you with the love of the Lord. Goes like this, I hate you with the love of the Lord. That's extreme. No, I'll probably have to take that off the tape. We'll get congregation singing it. But I'm serious about this. When you believe in God, some of your worst enemies are your brethren sitting around you. Right? And they're the Christians. Who's your enemy? Your Christian brothers and sisters. And in relative comparison, I'm telling you, you need to hate them as much as you love the Lord. Okay? What are you preaching? Hate? No, I'm preaching that you got to love God so much that your love for anybody else almost looks like hatred. Why? Because you are going to follow him no matter what and his word and do what he says, whether anybody else likes it or not. And when you find somebody else like that, hook up with them. Don't let them go. Say, oh, you're not leaving me. Amen. That's what Elisha did to Elijah. He said, I'm not leaving you. Well, you stay here. I got to go over the river. Are you kidding me? No, I'm going too. You find it, hook up with it and stay with it and encourage it in each other. Why? Because, you know, there's not a whole lot of them out there. Just in the regular trippy world. They're all caught up in everything else. But this is gold, people. What you've got is more precious than silver and gold. This is more precious than life. And you're going to let people mess around with it? Well, I just don't believe it that way. Okay, oh, got a phone call. I got to go. What are you going to do? What do you want? What kind of price are you willing to pay? Follow God with the tenacity of a bulldog. They would rather die than let go. You do that, you get something. And you'll attract some other people as radical and fanatic as you are. And then you'll have a nice company you can hang out with, the people that are like yourself, self-like. They went to their own company. They went to the people who are just like themselves. Then they could share. Then they could say, hey, well, these Pharisees, you know what they tried to do to us. What they do, they prayed and they went out and did it again. They said, well, we'll just believe God and we'll go out and preach some more and see what happens. Right? And go and get all whiny and cry. That wouldn't have been people of like precious faith. Run! Hallelujah. Shoo, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:14. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Well, what would this mean of somebody? If they can't believe something, what are they in? Unbelief. They're in unbelief. So what's the cure to this person getting out of unbelief? How shall they hear unless somebody is sent? Let me read that again. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If they have not believed, they are in unbelief. We all understand that. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you're in a church that is not preaching the gospel of salvation that includes your physical body, you're in trouble. Especially if you got something wrong with you. Well, I went to church and I felt good. Yeah, but did they tell you that Jesus bore your sickness in his own body, that by his stripes you could be healed? Did they tell you that? Well, no, I don't think they'd be willing to say that. Well, then you need to go somewhere else. How can you believe unless you hear? How can you hear without a preacher? And if your preacher is telling you anything but that, on a regular basis, then you are in unbelief. And do you know what God, and we'll get there, but do you know what God considers unbelief as? Evil. It is. It's wicked. It's sin. It's adultery. He considers it vile. And people are living in it. Christian people are living in it. We need to consider unbelief. Well, are you going to do that? Some Christian brother or sister comes up to you and says, hey, I got some good pornography. You want to come watch it with me? You'd be like, brother, that's evil. That's sin. It's disgusting. Get it out of here. Or, hey, you know, let's go just down a big thing at Jack Daniels. Want to do that? Tonight, nobody will know. I won't tell anybody. This is your Christian brother. If they said that, or you want to come over and worship this idol? I got this idol from India, man. It's really hairy and cool. You want to worship it? You'd be like, you are a moron. Stop asking me this stuff. But they come up and they say something like, well, you know, we don't particularly believe that those are actual sins that Jesus bore. Those are like spiritual infirmities, you know, that help make you, and blah, blah, blah. And it comes in a different form. God considers that as sin as much as any of this other stuff. And it's coming from your brothers and sisters, and it's coming from the preachers. Yeah. It's vile, and it's unholy, and we're not supposed to touch it. Amen. Leave it alone. Amen. What are you going to do? You're going to run. Remember Joseph? That woman tried to snare him. She grabbed onto his coat. He left it there and said, I'm out of here. Take the coat. I need my soul. And you're trying to mess with it. It's precious to me. Amen. And you got Christians all over the place. They're putting up because they like their brothers and sisters. And they love them with the love of the Lord. And I don't want to leave this precious body because they're so... I just love them so much. And yet they're compromising their walk with the living God because of this and these people in their sin. Unbelief is sin. And it's repulsive in the eyes of God. And they just tolerate it. Because they care more about their brothers and sisters. Right? Who do you care about? Who do you love more? You want God and all and pleasing him, or you want to make your little friends happy? They're going to talk about you behind your back anyway. Tell me about it. You get on the gossip chain. Better than the prayer chain. Faster than the prayer chain. People hear about you before you even show up. It's like lightning. Jesus is Lord. You guys still all here? Hallelujah. How are they going to believe and without hearing? So what's he doing? He's telling you the key to unbelief. You guys know this, but this is the key. Jesus knew it. When he marveled at their marvelous unbelief, they went, he said, I'm going to send out some teachers then, and we're going to teach these people. Now, if they rejected the teaching, well, then woe be unto them, because there is no help. There is no hope. If they don't receive the word of God, there is no hope for them. But we always present the word of life to people, always. Hand it out. Say, there you go. Look, that's what it says. If they reject that, then get out of there. Leave your robe there and get out. Why? Because you need your soul, and you need to please God, whether anybody else likes it or not. You know what I'm saying, sister? Hallelujah. Get your hankies out. Matthew 17. Brother, it seems like you're awful harsh on this. I'm absolutely serious on this. Unbelief is sin. Everybody say, unbelief,
unbelief
is sin.
Is sin.
There. Now you said it too. Hallelujah. Matthew 17. Jesus is Lord. You know what follows believers? Signs follow believers. Signs and wonders follow believers. Follow people that are filled with unbelief? No. There's signs that follow unbelievers too. Isn't there? There's signs that follow everywhere they go. Like Eeyore. Oh, in me. Everywhere I go, I don't know why it happens. But signs are going to follow you. You get rid of that unbelief. Gee, you'll be like leaving a wake of goodness everywhere you go. A wake of goodness. A marvelous wake of belief. Let Jesus marvel at your belief. Right? Not the unbelief. He's marvelous. I believe that. Look at that guy. Look at his faith. Hallelujah. You know, the only person he said that to was the centurion. He said he had greater faith than all those in Israel. And he wasn't even a Jew. He marveled at his faith. And it was because he said, say the word only. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. That's not, well, he laid his hands on a few sick folk, and with all his faith he could muster up, got them healed from their headache. That's in a Nazareth of unbelief. And this is what's going to happen with us as our faith skyrockets. And as our unbelief diminishes into nil. We're going to see signs and wonders following us because that's scripture. We're not following the sign. It's following us. Because we're believers. And we're full of faith. And full of power. And we do mighty works among the people. What people? The people of like precious faith. And let those who aren't that way be scared. Let them be scared. We're scary. And we're not wavering from it either. Fear thou much. Hallelujah. You guys turn there yet? Matthew 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your clothes. No, because of your haircut. No, because of your unbelief. You couldn't cast him out because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I'm going to present something to you here right now. You can throw stones at me if you want. Get your stones out. No. There's a bucket of them in the back. We keep it there just, you know, for cases like this. Jesus here is he not instructing them? Before he didn't have time to do it. He sent them forth to teach in the Nazareth of unbelief. What did he teach them? He taught them that it was your words. If you would have faith as a seed, you would say, and nothing would be impossible unto you. They just said, how come we couldn't cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. I'm presenting you the number one thing that you must do to get rid of unbelief is believe this and say something about it. You've got to say what you're believing for as a seed. And how many times? We know this. Jesus talked about faith as a seed. I don't know how many times. The kingdom of God is as if a man casts seed into the ground. Here he is, right in this critical moment in time when they said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall speak something. You shall say something. You shall open your mouth and say something. Under this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. It shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Next time you hear a person even think about saying.
Hear a person think about saying?
Yeah, you can see it coming on their face. Well, we just don't believe in that name it and claim it. We don't believe in that blab it and grab it. We don't believe in that word of faith where you say things and believe it comes to pass. If you can show them in the word and they don't see it and they don't say it, let them have your coat and get out of there. Now, that really sounds extreme. But this is the truth. This is what Jesus said. They ask him about their unbelief, and he says this. Was he just hallucinating at the time? No, I'm seeing seeds and trees and birds and... No, this is Jesus. They asked him, what are we going to do about this unbelief? And he said, if you have faith as a seed, you would say, he goes right back into the faith message. He goes right back into, you must say something. This is the crux of the gospel. You must open your mouth and say, Jesus, I make you Lord. You believe with your heart. You say it with your mouth. And it comes to pass. Hallelujah. It's the only way. And people say, well, no, that's, I don't see that in there. Okay, that's fine. See you later. I got to go somewhere else. I got to go. Got to go now. Right? What are you going to do? This should be the first thing you ask somebody. You go to a church, say, look at this, look at it. Do you believe this? Do you believe that if you say something, you can have what you say? And show them that verse. Ask them that. They say, well, no, we think people are extreme in that. They think they're going to say, okay, fine. I got my cell phone is ringing now. I got to go. This is key. This is the key to your success and to your getting rid of unbelief. Jesus said it. I'm just repeating it. Did they not ask him, why could we not cast him out? He said, your unbelief. Have we established so far that it is unbelief which is keeping people out of the gospel that they should be walking in? Right? It's unbelief. You have faith, you get it. You don't have faith, it's because you have unbelief and you don't get it. Jesus put the finger on the head right here and said, if you have faith as a seed, and it can be as small as anything, you will say something, and nothing will be impossible to you. Who else did he say nothing would be impossible to? He that believes. The only way to get rid of unbelief is to have your belief grow to a place where it overcomes that unbelief. How's that happen? By hearing and hearing the word. That word going down into your spirit, growing up and becoming a tree that what? It becomes greater than all the other herbs. It becomes greater than all the unbelief. It becomes greater than the sickness. It becomes greater than the debt. It just keeps growing. And people want to come up there and criticize your crop? See you later. We don't have time for that right now. I love you with the love of the Lord. Or I hate you with the love of the Lord. One of those, I don't know, but I got to go. And get out of there. Hebrews 3, I'm going to end here in Hebrews, hopefully. Glory be to God forever. Jesus is Lord. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So who did God swear they were? He's talking about the children of Israel. He said they weren't going to enter into the rest. Who did he say this to? He said, those that believed not. God was big in this way back then. He took the sheep from the goats way back then. He said, the sheep, they're the ones that believe. The goats are the ones that don't believe. They believe not. That's called unbelief. Right? What kept them from entering into the rest? The unbelief. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Why aren't people entering in? They have some unbelief. What's the key of getting rid of unbelief? Hearing and hearing the Word of God. If they're in a church where they don't preach the Word of God concerning that thing that's causing unbelief, then they're in trouble. They have no escape. They're in like a prison. They should, you know, stop designing churches to look like big old spires pointing to heaven and lovely places, and they start making it look like the prison it is. It's a prison of unbelief. When the door opens, run. Make clothes with your spirit inside of it. I'm serious. Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 12. Just go up a little bit. Take heed. Now, do you think he's just writing this frivolously here in this book? He's just going to tell you to take heed because, you know, he wanted to fill that little space. If he says take heed, we should take heed. Take heed. Who's he talking to? Brethren. So, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's telling the church to take heed. Do we understand that? He's not talking to the world. This wasn't even written to the world. This is written to you. And you're the people that are like preciousness of you. They have the same faith. They're just like you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. He calls it evil, unbelief, in departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, exhort one another unto what? Exhort one another unto faith, unto belief. If you find the people around you are exhorting you unto unbelief, shut them off. Get yourself around. Take heed. He's telling you, take heed. Sounds like your whole message tonight is just to take heed. Yeah, take heed. Don't let these people surround you and talk you out of your faith. But get together with people of like precious faith daily and exhort one another and how the things of God, you can step up, you can go up, you can grow up. You mean once a week? On Sunday morning? No, I don't think it says that. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And what would the sin be here? The unbelief. Thank you, man. You guys are scholars. Hallelujah. The sin is unbelief. It hardens you. It'll harden somebody's heart. You sit under teaching and preaching that tells you that it's not God's will for everybody to be healed. What does that do? It begins to harden the soil of your heart towards that seed. You sit under it long enough and you're going to get all that pus on you that everybody else had on them. And then you're going to go around contaminating other people. You'll be of like precious unbelief. They're marvelous in their unbelief. Jesus is Lord. Hebrews 4:11. And I'll end with this. Glory be to God forever. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let us therefore labor. What are we going to labor in? The very next word, very next verse says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So what are we going to labor in? And it's work. We've been down this road before, but it's work. Well, I don't want to just get together with my brothers and sisters and all we do is talk about the word. Well, you may have to find some different ones. This is work. He was just saying when you get together and encourage one another daily, make sure that's what you're doing. You want some really good friends? You want some really good, tight friends? Get them based on the word, doing this. And when every time you get together, what are you talking about?
Well, we like to talk about flowers. We like to talk about horticulture. We like to talk about bows and arrows or fishing or I don't care what it is. It, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that if that's second to your fellowshipping over the word and encouraging one another daily in belief. Not in unbelief, not in questioning, not to doubtful disputation. We're not going to get together and talk about the word. Well, what do you think about this? Well, I doubt that. Well, I doubt that, you know, that Mark chapter 16 was, you know, really inspired because they found it in the latest and best manuscripts. Right? They'll come up with all kinds of stupid stuff to tell you why the word of God isn't true. And they're supposed to be your brothers. They're asking you to go commit adultery with them, is what they're doing. They're asking you to go dip into a little pornography or a little whiskey or something. You need to sense that right away. You need to say, oh, back up the sin train here, Mr. Unbelief. I got to go do something else. And if they don't receive instruction, sorry, I hate you with the love of the Lord. That's what we should call this message. No. Hallelujah. That sounds harsh. It is harsh. Well, who do you love? The first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Remember, your community here is supposed to be a community of belief. Not a community of unbelief. That's the ones that are as yourself. You need to love your brother, the one who's as yourself. Other people that are trying, I'm telling you, you got to treat unbelief as if it's sin. Do you understand? Hope I'm getting my point across here. Unbelief is the number one reason why people aren't getting their healing or aren't getting anything else that they're supposed to be walking in because it's sin. And that's where we're going next week. What's the number two reason? Sin. What's the number one sin that keeps them out? Unbelief. Glory be to God. Well, aren't you happy now? This is the way it is. And if we're going to walk with God, we're walking with a holy God, and he's a righteous, just God, we should be scared. There's too much, you know, happy patty cake Christianity going on here, and they're all full of unbelief. They're all walking around living in sin. Getting everybody to participate in it. And they wonder why God doesn't show up. Jesus is Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your holy, precious, written word. We love your word. We receive your word. We base our life on it. Father, we ask to receive your word into our spirits. Help us to root out all unbelief and all sin that may be offensive to you. We believe you. We please you because of our belief. Let us be people who are full of faith and full of power and full of just love for you. And let our love for you be known, and let our love for one another be known among all people. Glory be to God, and let your word prevail and your glory fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
When shall we know? I want to know the Lord, then shall we grow as we sow and reap from Him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.